Kaya FM Podcast. My Money and Me with Sumitra Naidu on Kaya FM 95.9.
Tonight, our businesswoman on the move is Yavi Madhura. She is the founder and MD of digital transformation company Black Box Theory. Last year, she launched the Pan-African Business Women's Association. Yavi is also a well-known media analyst. She often appears on television and can be heard on the radio talking about social media. Yavi, a very good evening to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Sumitra.
Now, you've embarked on some really interesting projects in the business world, and you've had a thriving social media. Well, you've got a social media brand in Black Box Theory. You're a marketing specialist and a digital media expert, but you've also had to travel a long and hard road to get here. You survived breast cancer at a really young age, and you started these companies, and you seem to be thriving. Tell me about how it all began.
Well, I think it's more about, looking back so I was a corporate being, if I can put it that way, a corporate animal, as they call us. So come from a banking background, and I was in a situation where after breast cancer, surviving breast cancer, I was told I couldn't have children. 2 years later, I found out at 4 months that I was pregnant. So obviously science was wrong in that particular case. And I was in a position where I was a very senior executive. I had lots and lots of international travel, and it just, the working world is not great from a working mother perspective today. Mm-hmm. But I think if you look back 10 years and you look back 10 years, before that and so on, it's worse. And so a couple of years ago, things were very difficult and very different for somebody who is at a C-class level and trying to be a mom of a toddler, et cetera, et cetera. So, looking for another job didn't really pan out because everybody wanted me to travel because that was my specialty in terms of international markets. So I then started the journey of entrepreneurship, and I started Black Box Theory based on what I knew at the time, which was strategy and, brand development and brand turnaround. And I was already in the digital and technology space. It obviously blew up and exploded in the last 10 years. So that just, was according to my trajectory. So that helped a lot. And so we find ourselves, I think it's 10 years later, it's been a completely interesting journey, to say the least. The hustle, whether you're a woman, whether you're in South Africa, whether you're in a developing country or developing continent, it's never easy. So it's been an interesting couple of years being in an environment where entrepreneurship is celebrated for the idea of it and not necessarily, the daily grind behind it. And sometimes our reality is very different and can be skewed, I suppose.
I mean, it's interesting you talk about, being a working mother and the fact that, the workplace is not, it doesn't cater for all of us. It's very difficult. And there seems to be the struggle for many, executive women or women in the corporate world. And it's still a struggle. And we often ask ourselves, why are there not enough women in the workplace? Apart from, the fact that we still have to fight for our places there, you also have the challenge of deciding on your own whether you actually want to go and give it your all.
Absolutely. And that becomes the how many times have you heard of a woman who, she may be a housewife in inverted commas today, and somebody would say, well, she took off a couple of years to be able to have her kids. And, we've seen the movies, we've heard the stories, we know women like this. And that becomes exactly it. It's because it just becomes a square peg in a round hole. Your life changes. You don't want to work any less necessarily. You just want to be able to have more flexibility. And unfortunately, the world that we live in, well, pre-COVID, post-COVID, interestingly enough, the stats show that the world is now more flexible because of working from home and remote work became a necessity. Women may actually be able to join the workforce back again, so to speak, because of the ability to work from home, and it's become normalized. So pre-COVID, that was definitely a no-no. You know, you have to be working 12, 14, 15, or be seen, rather, to be working kind of ridiculous hours. It wasn't a good thing if you were not at, you know, when it was dark and you left the office when it was light, so to speak. But these are the kind of things that, we have to do, and or we have to do. And I suppose you reach a stage because you're a woman also. So let's be clear about that. And at some point in your life, you do want to have a family. You do want to be able to move along with your life. And you hope that your career will move along with your life. But the workplace doesn't necessarily leave space for that. And that's when it becomes difficult because you've slugged and slaved like your whole life. Mm-hmm. And you kind of just want to get to that point now where you want to start a family or whatever the case is. And you find that it's not, it just doesn't fit. And therefore, people leave at the stage where they're just about, you know, either in the top position, maybe second or third down from the top position, just because it becomes too much. And some things are more important, in inverted commas, than others.
How did you manage that, though? I mean, you know, entrepreneurship is also not easy. And it, you know, in some cases, people feel like, you know, that takes up a lot more time because, you know, you giving your all, you giving all your hours, all your time to this in order to make it work. Whereas having a corporate job sometimes can be a 9-to-5. I mean, how did you manage that kind of pressures with having a new baby?
Well, to be very honest with you, and I'm going to say some things that maybe people won't say, and I'm okay with that. So financially, I have taken a massive, huge, I don't think there's a word for it. I'm sure my husband has a few words for it, but I've taken a massive knock. You know, if I have to think about where I would be if I'd stayed in the corporate world, both financially, status, title, you know, all the trappings of success, so to speak, I sometimes try not to think about it because it can get depressing. But by the same token, you know, Sumitra, coming out of a situation where somebody says to you, you've come out of breast cancer, you've survived it barely, and then someone says to you, I'm so sorry, you're not going to be able to have children, and you are not even 30 years old. And then you have a child. That kind of feeling, nothing can replace, you know, to me, being able to spend time with her and being able to see her grow up and being able to spend, she's 13 now, but obviously, so for, you know, 10 years, I was close enough to be able to see it, to be able to, I took my laptop with me to watch netball matches. I would never have been able to do that if I was a corporate mom. You know, those kind of things. So if I took time off work, I knew I was letting go of money, but I was not answerable to anyone or feeling guilty or, you know, those kind of things. So there is that, you know, six of one, half a dozen of another kind of thing. But that's the balance that you finally have. And now it's my time again to try and find my space in the world again. And you know, not that I'm ignoring her now, but she's a lot older. She's a lot more independent. So yeah, it's just finding that space and finding my money again.
I suppose
not making it up.
It's reprioritizing and asking yourself the difficult questions and deciding what exactly, you know, is feeding you at that point. And it's important. But, you know, rightly so, you know, a lot of people don't say that. I mean, you know, it's great to be an entrepreneur. We all know how hard it is. But not often do you find people saying, yes, but I was broke for most of it. You know,
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the biggest things that I have to tell you is that there's an underlying something. I don't know what it is. You know, I do know, but I don't know, you know, that kind of scenario. In terms of the way women operate as entrepreneurs and the way men operate as entrepreneurs, it's a very different engagement and dynamic. And, you know, I wish that someone would have said to me some of the things that I'm basically saying now, and I've had 10 years of experience of like literally telling any woman who wanted to go in and thought this was, you know, sexy and cool and glamorous to be, or call yourself an entrepreneur, and I'd be like, I don't mean to say these things to you. There's this side of it, and then there's that side of it. You know, make a decision based on both. But yes, and I think for me, one of the biggest things is that, and whether it's the woman in my family, whether it's the woman I work with, I collaborate, I partner with, my hustle sisterhood, so to speak, if it wasn't for them, and we have days where we sit and we like, God, why are we doing this? Yeah. Why are we putting ourselves through this? We're having very honest conversations, and you know, one is broke, one is not broke, you figure it out, that kind of thing. If you don't have that kind of support, if you don't have that kind of engagement and dynamic, it can become a very, very lonely and a terrible place to be, actually. Having said that, there's the positive side, that you have that flexibility, you have the ability to determine your own salary, your own amount, if you're doing the right things, if you're not doing the right things, it doesn't matter. So it's a very interesting dynamic. It can become addictive, I have to say to you. As difficult as it is, it can become addictive. But it's all of those components that come together, I think, that make up why people stay entrepreneurs even when we're broke, so to speak. And you know, when you have that, when you hit that, the big checks, and you hit the big payments, and you hit the big amounts, and then you think, oh, it's all worth it. So it's that roller coaster ride of up and down that I think we are strange human beings, but we enjoy the ride, or the thrill of it, so to speak.
When you talk about womanhood, I mean, you've started the Pan African Business Women's Association. Is that really to support other women?
Yes, absolutely. So I started it on the basis that I noticed one thing. I travel a bit into Africa, not a bit, a lot into Africa. And one of the things that was that connected us, and sometimes South Africa can be very, like, I don't know whether aloof is the word, or separate, or whatever the case is, but we can sometimes not be part of, you know, the continent. It feels like that sometimes. And one of the biggest things that hit me, or hit anyone, I think, when you travel into the rest of Africa, is that you feel so welcomed, you feel so at home, you feel so, it's a very different dynamic, like that's addictive, I can tell you that. And one of the things that run as a golden thread through all women across the continent, and it doesn't matter, you know, whether it is you are dark-skinned, light-skinned, you know, Arabic, speaking, or, you know, Swahili, or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. There's one thing that connects all of us, and that is the way Africa treats its women, and the way we respond to it. So we have a cultural approach or response to the way we deal with things from a continent perspective, and it doesn't matter what race, what the color of your skin is, what language you speak, it really combines us. So the Pan-African Business Women's Association was started, or PABWA was started, on the basis of that. And one of the things that I wanted to be able to focus on was economic empowerment, which is something I found didn't exist in Africa. We don't speak in economic terms for women from a gender perspective, maybe in South Africa, but not necessarily in the rest of the continent. And yet, money runs the world. We have the most number of single mothers in the world, on the continent. Why don't we continuously speak about, you know, economic empowerment and putting money into women's hands, and showing them and teaching them, and, you know, highlighting opportunities and being able to share information, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this is where this all started. As I said, I'm inspired every day by my hustle sisterhood. You know, we come together, we fight one day, we're laughing and hugging and, you know, drinking champagne the next. It's the way we are. So how do we then translate that across the continent to the rest of the sisterhood, and how do we take that and kind of manifest it forward? We have to learn how to hold each other's hands. We have to learn how to work with each other, because it's just not working that we're not.
It is, you know, it's interesting. I had this discussion with my cousin sitting in Stockholm, and this debate came up on a panel that she was on, and she was also like, why is there this problem? I mean, often women are putting other women down, especially in the corporate world. And I said to her, but maybe it's because that we are always competing. We're always competing for a place. We always have to prove ourselves. And I don't think we're doing it intentionally, but I think that sometimes, you know, you're so protective of whatever you have that you don't actually want to share it. So, I mean, this Pan-African Business Women's Association is quite enlightening. I mean, you know, you want to change that kind of mindset.
So, you know, you're 100% correct, that whole competition thing. And it goes back. I've always wondered why. You know, my parents unfortunately never saw fit to give me a sister, and I've made everyone pay
for
the rest of their lives. So if you're a friend of mine, you become my sister. You have no choice. But, you know, it starts from, like, I don't know about, you know, anyone else, but it starts from, like, when you're really young. There's always this competition about who's the prettiest. From a, you know, bride perspective, you've got to look better than the previous bride. You've got to do this. You've got to learn how to cook better. Your stuff has got to be better. I have never seen my brother being compared to the neighbor's, you know, son to say he's more handsome or he's more this or what. It's just, we've got this thing about girls and women. Are you, how fair are you? You know, how do you look? How straight is your hair? I don't know, whatever the differences are. It's always that kind of scenario that plays out. And I suppose that becomes then inculcated. It becomes institutionalized. Mm-hmm. So when we walk into an environment where there's other women, you know, we give each other the look. It's up and down. And try to deal with that. And if we can get past that, can you imagine that we are able to multitask? We are able to do so many things. And I don't mean to make this about men, because we need men in our environment in order to create that kind of context and texture. But so I'm not anti-men, not by any means. But I'm just saying, can you imagine we have what they call, you know, before it used to be called soft skills. In the world going forward, it's going to be power skills, because those are the things that are going to separate us from robots. So now we're talking about power skills. Women have more of that than men, et cetera, et cetera. You add all of that up. Can you imagine if we just learned how to work together, how powerful we would be if we were able to just get past that hugely competitive issue? And sometimes the competitiveness isn't even about my brain. It's about what I'm wearing or, you know, what I look like. And I know you understand that, because every woman goes through
it. No, absolutely. So, and, you know, it becomes a game changer. But I'm so glad, I mean, that you have this organization. You know, women should embrace this, should look at this and let's start working. And we have to start somewhere. We have to actually, you know, pick our sisters up wherever we can. Yavi, unfortunately, we've run out of time. It was great chatting to you. Thank you so much sharing your journey with us.
Thank you for what you're doing with this program. It's amazing. Thank you so, so much.
Great stuff. Thank you and take care.
Mind Money and Me, every Tuesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9. Kaya FM Podcast. Go to kayafm.co.za for more.